Okay. First of all, I'm going to give a big yasher koach. This is my first opportunity to be able to join you, but I know that this has been going on for a while, this group, and it's very special when guys get together with the sole intention to just grow. It's amazing, you know, and it's a tremendous accomplishment, and you should know that I'm sure besides the people in this room just getting together that it's helped all of you and strengthened all of you, but the fact that this group exists, even the people who don't come are affected by it. Because everyone knows that there's a group that's working on themselves and growing and changing, that itself has a big hashpa, has a big influence on everyone. Okay, I assume that in the past, I don't know this for a fact, but I assume that in the past, people didn't come in with sore sheets. It's not a shiur, and I'm not going to give a shiur either. Okay, but I felt that if you could follow along with some of the things that I'm saying, it'll be easier to connect with. You could see it inside, which is actually the theme what I want to speak about here: seeing things and connecting with it. And that is, we'll start off with the Torah. These are the first three sources over here, where the Torah says that Yaakov saw his son Yosef, and the son Yosef had his two sons with him, right, Ephraim and Manasseh. So he says, Yaakov says to him, he says, Yosef, Mi'ela, who are these people? And the pasuk continues, this is in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Ches, the pasuk says, Vayomer Yosef el Aviv, Yosef said to his father, Banayim, they're my sons. I share Nasanli Elokim Bazet, that Hashem has given me here. So Yaakov says, bring them to me so I could bless them. I could give them a bracha. Okay? So his grandsons, the grandchildren, right? Ephraim and Manasseh, they're going to come to him in order for Yaakov to be able to give a bracha. Okay? And the pasuk then says, Ve'inei Yisrael kavdu mizokein, that Yaakov, Yisrael, his eyes were dim. It was difficult for him to be able to see. He was old. Right? Yaakov was about to die, actually. And so he was old. It was difficult for him to see. Lo yuchal aros, he couldn't see. Vayageisho samelav, so he took his grandsons to him. Vayishak lahem, he kissed them. Vayechabek lahem, and he hugged them. Okay? That's the story. He wanted to know who they were. He said, bring them to me, so I give them a bracha. The Torah, for some reason, has to tell us that his eyes were not able to see that well. Why is that important over here? Maybe it has nothing to do with anything, right? He brought it close to him, he gave him a hug and a kiss, and he gave him a bracha. Right? Why stick in the middle here? The Torah says that his eyes, it was hard for him to see. Okay? So the Sfarno explains, we're going to skip the next few sources, we'll get back to it in a minute, on the back page, on the back of the page, on the top of the page, the Sfarno explains as follows. He says that in order for the bracha to be able to be chal, in order for the bracha to be able to be effective, he had to connect in a certain way, in a spiritual way, with his grandsons. And this is something nothing to do with Yaakov and his grandsons. In order for a blessing ever to connect, you have to connect with the person that you're giving the bracha to. Okay? So the ideal way to connect, the highest level, the deepest way of being able to connect with someone in order that your spiritual self has connected and now that your blessing, which is spiritual, could just come right out, right? What's that? By seeing them. When I see someone, that's what I was saying, it was good to see the sources over here so you can connect to it better. Right? When you see someone, that is the deepest way to be able to connect to someone. And when my nefesh, my soul, and yours connect through my eyes, so then the blessing could be most effective. Comes the Torah and says, Yaakov was not able to see that well. Therefore, that mode of connection was not an option over here. Instead, what did he do? He grabbed them to hug them and kiss them, which is second best. So it's a very, very powerful statement that the Torah is telling us over here. That our vision, what we see, is the portal towards our nefesh, to our deepest self. And that's very important when we think about what we're looking at, what we use our eyes for, what we're reading, what we're staring at, etc. That it's not just like, hey, you know, I saw something and it went to my head and it confused me or whatever it is, but it's really hitting the deepest place of our core, of our nefesh. And that's why the ideal for Yaakov to bless his grandsons was to connect through seeing. Okay, now this has positive and negative. First of all, this is positive here. I want to give a bracha to someone, right? So I want to connect because that's the portal to my nefesh is through my eyes. Not my ears, not my nose. I didn't walk over to them, you smell good, Ephraim and Menashe. It doesn't say he did that. Right? He said he wanted to stare at them, he wanted to see them. That was the way to get to connect them the greatest way. Second best was hugging and kissing. But the first was to see. Now we see there's also a halakha. Some of us, it's not so well known. But it's a very beautiful halakha that the Shulchan Aruch writes in the laws of tefillah, of davening, it's in Siman Kuf Lamed Dalet. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that when the person does Hagbah and he lifts up the Torah, right, you're supposed to liros haksav, you're supposed to be able to see the writing. Okay, it's not just enough that you know the guy picked this thing up and that's it. You're supposed to be able to see the writing. So the Mishnah Berurah here writes, in Sifkan Yad Aleph, he writes, V'tov, it is good, She'yira ha'osios. You shouldn't just see, oh, there's writing over there. I see, like, I'm standing in the back of the Beis Medrash, the chazan, the person who does Hagbah, picks it up. Oh, I see there's some, like, black ink over there. No, it's not enough. That, according to Shulchan Aruch, that's okay. The Mishnah Berurah says it's better, it's tov, She'yira ha'osios, that you should see the letters. Ad sheyihya yachol lekrosam, to the extent you're able to read the words. Ki kaswa mekubalim, because in Kabbalah it says shaydeze, that through this nimshach or gadol ala adam, a powerful light comes into the person. And that's why by the Sephardim you see this a lot, that when they do Hag, everyone looks to see, they even point sometimes. Ashkenazim doesn't do it as much, but people do walk up. You'll notice it now, and maybe you'll be of those people now, to walk up to actually see what did the person, what is it that you're looking at in the Torah. By looking at the letters of the Torah, if you could see what it says, it's nimshach, an or gadol, a great light comes over the person, a very holy and spiritual light. Okay? But that is all just indicative of the power of our eyesight. Again, it's not just, okay, so it's something good, it's something bad, da 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 da. It's much deeper than that. This is the entrance into bringing tremendous kedusha into our world. And unfortunately, it could bring horrible detriment to our world, into our inner world, because of the power of our vision, much greater than sense and much greater than feel. It's something much more significant. Now, we have to realize that this is not like the challenge of our day with shmirat ha'inayim, guarding our eyes, is not something that like is new. You know, nowadays with computers and internet and things like that, it's like a new challenge of our generation. Okay, I tell you, when I saw this the first time, I was like blown away. But just to highlight, this is so important that this is a struggle of generations upon generations. Okay, which sometimes makes it easier for us to attack and to overcome. When you think it's like, oh, this is our problem, it makes it a little difficult. But when you know that people have been dealing with this forever, it makes it a little easier. It's doable. People did it, we can do it, right? The Gemara says in Megillah, and Daf Lamed Aleph and Aleph, 31a, the Gemara says that at Mincha on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, you come to Shul Mincha, that means Yom Kippur is almost over. Right, we're almost at the last tefillah is Ne'ilah, right? We're almost there. Right? We're basically at the end, right? You're probably starving by then, right? You guys say, yeah, Mincha Ne'ilah. You lane from the Torah. What should we read about? Right, on Shabbos we read about the Parsha of Shavua, the portion of the week. But on Mincha of Yom Kippur, what are we going to read about? Maybe we should read about, you know, what the Kohen Gadol did in the Beis HaMikdash, or something about the Korbanos, or something like that. Maybe we should read about the clothing that the Kohen Gadol read. What do we read? We read about the Parsha of Arayos, the part about illicit relations. That's what it's about. What in the world does that have to do with Yom Kippur? The answer is nothing. So the Rishonim, Tosfos asks on the side of the page, so why are we reading it today? Maybe we should read Bereishis, or like the story of Noach. Like, why are you reading about this? It's Yom Kippur here. Let's focus on the day. So Tosfos answers that the reason is because women come to shul on Yom Kippur, all dressed up, right? Special for the day. Right? This is the holiest day of the year. Even women who maybe don't come to shul on a regular Shabbos, Yom Kippur, the women's section is packed. Especially towards the end of the day, the women are all coming. And they're all dressed up really nicely because of the holiness of the day. And we need to be reminded, says Tosos, not to stumble when the women are in shul. Unbelievable! This is Yom Kippur. You already went through a whole day of fasting, of davening, right? You've done so much tshuva already. You're at the very end of Yom Kippur. And we have to read about, you know, have to worry about the women's section. Really? And this is in the Gemara. Well, this is not, you know, in the year 2000, year 2018. In the Gemara, the custom that we read today at Mincha Yom Kippur about illicit relations is because in times of the Gemara, they were worried that on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, after you already went through a Mariv and a Shachris and a Musaf and you're fasting, it's the end of the day, they're worried that the women are getting dressed up all pretty in the women's section. You might see them and you might stumble. So to remind you, stay focused, that's what they read about. That's unbelievable, no? That is unbelievable. Unbelievable. But what do we see? We see that it's not when people are struggling with their thoughts and with their eyes, etc. That's not a struggle that was invented this week and this year or in the last 10 years. It's something that's part of man. It's in human nature. It's normal. So you have to put in guards for ourselves in order that we could to move forward. It's even in there for good purposes. That we should be attracted to our wives, and we should have feelings. The feeling inside is for positive. It's not just to mess around with us, right? It's a good thing. Okay, we got to channel it. It has to be channeled, but we have to put in these blocks. Like here, the mincha laning on Yom Kippur. This is what it's about. So that's so we can stay focused. So it's something that people have been dealing with forever, and They put guards up like this, you know, this custom of what you should read at Mincha Yom Kippur, and we just have to do the same exact things. We could read things on our own, we could write things, we could have set reminders for ourselves, but it's something that is normal, it's part of man, the way we were created, all men, and it exists forever, it's been going on forever, and we just have to go ahead and set up those bars. There's a story, I don't know, a few more minutes, what time do we have, folks? Couple more minutes. A few more minutes. Okay. So in 1923, the Chavetz Chaim went to a big gathering for Agudas Yisrael. It was in Vienna. Okay? And there were all the Torah giants were all there to gather to discuss urgent matters concerning the Jewish world. They would do that often. And this one was in Vienna. Okay? And the ones that were in public, you know, some, they had some private meetings with the rabbis, and some were for all, everyone to listen and to listen in and be inspired. So the ones that were open had massive amounts of people coming to, men and women, and there was a balcony, and the women sat in the balcony, and the men were lower on, lower down. And one of the rabbis said that he didn't think the balcony thing was good enough. You can see the women perfectly. You know, it's just another level. It's not like a machitza. It's not like a wall. It's not like you can see them perfectly. Everything is fine. So they had a debate. The rabbis had a debate. Do you need a machitza? Do you not need a machitza? So many were of the opinion that, what do you need a machitza for? We're not davening here. Right? We're talking. So you have a separation. You have a balcony. No one's like mixing around with each other. There's no reason to have a machitza. There's nothing wrong with being in the same room with a woman. Right? That's what many of the rabbis were taking the lenient approach. And they asked the Chabad Chaim, because he was the greatest of the rabbis there, they asked him, so what do you say? So he says something very fascinating. He said, you know what? It could be that it's completely permitted. You're right. We're not davening. We're not saying Kaddish. We're not saying... It's totally fine. So you can see the lady. You can see the lady. That's totally fine. But he pointed out that the Pasuk says that in Devarim, the Pasuk says, Lo yir'evecha ervaz davar v'shav mi'acharecha. Says that in Parshas Kisetze, that I'm going to leave you if tzni'ut, if modesty is not there. And that's the only place that we find that Hashem says something like that. V'shav mi'acharecha, I'm out. In a place of unholiness, Hashem removes himself. And therefore make sure that there's none of these illicit relations going on within the Jewish people. And the more that we go ahead and we remove that from ourselves, illicit relations, illicit thoughts, seeing things that aren't... So the more Hashem comes into our life. So he said, you know what? It might be mutter, 100%. But we don't want to introduce situations where it might be difficult for us. Again, it's not a mutter, usser, permitted, prohibited. It's not always what it's about. We have to realize that there's tremendous gain in being able to see certain things, and there's certain tremendous loss that could be created, like we said before, when we see certain things. And this is highlighted, is the last source in the back over here, is a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk in Kuf Yates is 119, pasuk Lamed Zayin, 37. The pasuk says, Haver einai me'ra'os shav. Avert my eyes from seeing falsehood. That's how it's translated here. B'drachecha chayini. By your ways you're going to preserve me. Chayini means you're going to give me life. Okay? Take my eyes from seeing things that are shav, or nothingness. And through that, you're going to preserve me, you're going to give me life. And the Ibn Ezra, one of the commentators, the early commentators on the side of the Tehillim, he says a fascinating thing. He says, Ki chaya adam yarichu. Man's life is going to be elongated. You're going to have a long life. Imlo yelech acharenu, if we don't go after our eyes. It's an amazing thing, this pasuk is saying. You know, it's not just good and bad, we spoke about before, you could bring, it's the portal of bringing kedusha, it's the portal of being able to connect with another soul in the deepest of levels, the imprints that it puts on us in a very significant way. It's not just that, but it causes us to have long life. Long life, that's what the pasuk says in Tehillim, that's what David HaMelech said. It causes us to have a long life. And, you know, I don't know, there's just a question out there, I don't know if this means, like, you're going to live more years, or your life is going to be longer in the sense you're going to be able to accomplish more. When our eyes are focused, we're able to accomplish much more because we're not distracted and we don't get all bogged down by certain things. We're able to focus, we're able to be more productive, we're able to grow. And by definition, you end up having a longer life, because they don't have all these bothersome things going on. So we should hopefully get strength. I'm getting strength just by speaking about this. And I guess that's the point of this group, to strengthen each other. But it's to recognize the power of our eyes, both from good and bad. You know, if you guys want to be stringent now, and for this Mr. Brura, you're going to have it on Shabbos, you know, tomorrow morning in Shul, you know, do Hagbah when they lane. Go, run up to the guy picking up the Torah and look. Look at the words that brings a tremendous aura. Use our eyes for good things, for allowing our kedusha, the holiness, to come into us. And we're getting up to Shavuos, saying davening every day. V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha. Enlighten our eyes with the Torah. Why don't we say enlighten our brains with the Torah? Why our eyes? Because our eyes lets it penetrate the brain in the real way. That's the way of getting it into our brain in the strongest way. So we daven that our eyes should be enlightened with Torah, because that's going to let us be affected in the greatest way. And my bracha to everyone over here is that we should be able to bring that or bring the light in and allow it then to shine out. Let everyone see the beautiful light that's in us. Shkaya, guys.
Thank you.